sort of from scratch, I guess you could say. So let's see what 4 hours sounds like. Turn with me, please, to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 20 through 22. My last time talking to my cousin Spencer was over Skype. We talked about a lot of goofy things, you know, crazy things, things that teenage guys talk about, like how to make a lot of money. Maybe that doesn't sound crazy to some of you, but for us, it seems unreal. We talked about things like what job we should take that would make us the most money, and we tried to think of wealth on a larger scale. And so we talked for a while about moving to Alaska and purchasing a whole bunch of land through something that we believe is still an act called the Homestead Act, which would allow any U.S. citizen to purchase 540 acres of land on an unsettled territory. And we thought, you know, we'll purchase this land and cultivate it and plant a whole garden out in, you know, negative degree temperature. I don't know what we were thinking. But we'd plant a garden, you know, cultivate the land, maybe raise some cattle, whatever. And then when the world moves west, we would sell it for a whole bunch of money. But our conversation shifted to more of reality. And we started to realize, you know, nothing's profitable unless it's done for God. And that was the last time I had talked to Spencer. And I can't remember the last words that I said to him, but I do remember saying that, why should we work for something that's going to be burned up in the end? And it was hard thinking about him dying in a fire and having talked to him about fire before he died. Excuse me, I didn't mean to come up here and cry. But his death was something that really brought me to think about what life is all about. And that's why I have asked you to turn with me to Matthew 6. The theme for tonight is, this world is not my home. Amen. Let's read, starting actually in verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words that your son spoke, that you spoke here in Matthew 6. And I just pray that you would help me to get through this and help me to preach effectively. And I pray that it would minister to our hearts in this short amount of time that we have. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see that Jesus Christ gave us two commands. Two commands in Matthew chapter 6. The first one can be seen in verse 19. For someone that says, this world is not my home, here's the first thing that they'll have done. They'll have forsaken earthly treasures. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Well, you know, why should we forsake these earthly treasures? You know, they're fun. Cars are fun. That's a possession, right? That's a treasure. Guns are fun. I love guns. You know, purchasing land, that'd be fun if it turned valuable someday. But the reason we should forsake this is because, for one, everything on earth will be burned up. Everything on earth will be burned up. Everything Yes, everything. Turn with me, please, to 2 Peter 3:10 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Say, why should I forsake earthly treasures? Because they'll all be burned up. You know, your money. Have you ever seen a forest fire? Ever seen the effects of a forest fire? You know, trees catch fire really fast, and your money's made out of the same thing. Your house, you know, have you ever seen a forest fire? Trees catch fire really fast, and your house is made out of the same thing. You know, your clothes. Have you ever seen a forest fire? Trees and plants catch fire really fast, and your clothes are made out of the exact same thing. Everything is going to be burned up. You know, guns. I mentioned guns earlier. Jesse and I love guns. Spencer loved guns. I remember one day, Jesse pulled his shotgun out from under his bed, and he was really sad because there was rust all over it, and it just seemed just like that the rust had grown on the gun. And he said something along the lines of, I guess this is just a reminder that everything on earth is corruptible. Spencer's gun, there was a gun Uncle Mike brought last week when he visited our house that was actually in the explosion. I had cleaned up one of his guns for him, but the other gun he handed me was in a bag that the sheriff's office, I believe, had concealed the weapon in. And it was melted for the most part. And he asked me if I would like to restore it. And so it's sitting at my house right now, waiting to be restored. But when I opened the bag, the gun smelled like smoke, just like the house that I stood in that was exploded down in the basement. I had stood in the basement where everything used to be. And when I touched the gun, there came off, it was black. It was like I touched coal. And it's just a reminder, you know, everything is going to be burned up. You know, here's another reason why we should forsake earthly treasures. Would you look at verse 32 of Matthew 6 with me, please? Jesus is talking about, you don't need to think about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Why? Because verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles live, I guess you could say, for an earthly retirement. You know, their retirement is from their birth till their death, and that's it. They don't think of anything further. The Gentiles, in this case, would be, you know, the unsaved in our world. People who don't focus on heavenly treasures. Some of you went to Jesse's graduation last week, I believe, and a man I know got up to speak. He was selected by the students to speak. And he got up and he gave a piece of advice to all the high schoolers as to how they should guide their lives. And he said this, we should live our lives creating memories, because at the end of our lives, that's all we will have. And right there, I took note of that. Because that's false. What happens when you get dementia? What happens when you get Alzheimer's? You don't have memories. Those are corruptible too. They might not be tangible, but your memories will be gone. You know what? Memories could be considered an earthly treasure. You know, I don't know if we'll have memories of things on earth and heaven, but if we live for memories and we get, say, we have dementia, what's going to happen then? Everything you lived for is gone. And that's why Jesus Christ in verse 19 of Matthew 6 says, forsake earthly treasures. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. You know, there's a difference between living for money and living on money or living by money. Living for money, would you please go with me to Luke 12? Luke chapter 12. And I'll read verses 15 through 21. Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's what living for money looks like. That's a prime example. But you know what? Living by money or by a means of money? I look at Job when he had everything taken away from him. And he was talking to his wife, who was sort of against him at this time. And Job said this in Job 2:10, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job lived by money. He didn't live for money. And since he lived by money, by means of money, and not for it, when everything was taken away from him, it didn't grieve him so much as if he would have lived for money. You know, if you're a Christian, your retirement isn't on earth anyways. Philippians 3:20 talks about our inheritance being in heaven, knowing that our retirement is not on earth. Christians should live as if we're retiring in heaven. For someone that says, you know, this world is not my home, they should forsake earthly treasures. Second of all, they should focus on heavenly treasures. Verse 20, Matthew 6. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You know, focusing on heavenly treasures is an absolute. You know, I like reading about the stock market and investments. And, you know, when you talk to someone, a financial advisor maybe, about investing, someone, they might say, when investing in the stock market, you should diversify your portfolio to eliminate a lot of risk. However, when you're dealing with the heavenly retirement, I have a piece of advice for you. This is one stock that you can put all your money in. You can put all your treasure in this stock, so to speak. Heaven is the ultimate retirement plan. And I don't mean that to sound very, disrespectful or wrong or misrepresented. But heaven is one place where you can lay up your treasures and it's not going to be taken away from you. Amen. It's a place where there's no moth, no rust, no thieves can break through and steal. Why wouldn't you put your life's work into that? It can be so frustrating when someone, you know, doesn't give you a straight answer. But I can confidently say to you, lay up your treasures in heaven, even as Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. Everything in heaven is eternal. You don't have to turn there with me, but I'm going to read to you 1 Peter 1, verse 4, which says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Treasures that are laid up in heaven are incorruptible. They cannot be taken away. Our dwelling place in heaven will be eternal. Our souls will be eternal. Do you want to know why our heavenly treasure is eternal? Because our God is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. And that's why our treasure will be eternal. It's safe in his hands, and we are safe in his hands. You know, if you're really focusing on heavenly treasures, you'll look for Jesus coming. Why? Why would someone who is focused on heavenly treasures be looking for Jesus coming? Luke 12:33 through 36. Please turn there with me, if you would. Luke chapter 12, verses 33 through 36. Jesus is saying, "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." If your focus is on heavenly treasures, you'll be looking for the Lord's coming, because your treasure is there with Jesus Christ. You know, people look forward to what is important to them. You know how to tell what's important to someone? Look at Matthew chapter 6 again, the last verse. Matthew 6, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus gives us a warning here. Your treasure will reveal where your heart is. One of my professors at Bob Jones, Dr. Mazak, would always say, "The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart." I'll say it again. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. If you're looking for the root of the problem, it lies at the heart. And if you're focused on earthly treasures and you've lost sight of heaven, that's not necessarily an external problem. That's a heart problem. Earthly treasures will never satisfy the heart. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Judas Iscariot sold heaven's creator, Jesus Christ, for money, and he wasn't satisfied. Matthew 27:5 says that after Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. If someone tells you, "I think that, money will make people happy. The only people that say money won't satisfy you are the ones that don't have it." I've heard that all the time. And I say, look at Judas Iscariot. I mean, that's an accomplishment from an earthly perspective, selling the creator of the earth to the Pharisees, betraying him. Of course, Jesus let that happen, but he even got money for it. And a guy like that went out and hanged himself. That looks like an accomplishment. His earthly treasure he cast to the ground. And his life, he decided to spend an eternity, I believe, in hell. But I want you to see that laying up treasure in heaven will satisfy the heart. Laying up treasure in heaven will satisfy the heart. Let's make some application here. And this is something I hadn't really thought of until tonight. But tomorrow we have VBS. And there's going to be 43 kids here who we can minister to, who even if the seed is planted, we're laying up treasure in heaven. And wouldn't it be great if some of those kids were even saved? That's treasure in heaven, and that will satisfy the heart. And not only that, that treasure will not be taken away. For someone that says, and rightly so, "This world is not my home," they will not focus on earthly treasures. They will forsake earthly treasures. Second, as we see in verse 20, they will focus on heavenly treasures. But we must heed to Jesus' warning that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. If we do not forsake the riches of this world, our testimony before the Gentiles, or our testimony before the unsaved, will be ruined. You know, just like in the parable of the man who built barns for himself and he tore them down and then he built them back up and then the Lord required his life of him and said along the lines of, where's your inheritance going to go now? If Jesus Christ came to, let's say me or you and asked, where's your inheritance going to go? Could you say, my inheritance is in heaven? Or would you have to say, I've spent a lot of time building up my inheritance here on earth? Could you tell Jesus Christ, if he required your life of you, I have forsaken earthly treasures and I have focused on heavenly treasures and my heart is secure in heaven in your hands? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this short time that we've had, even though it's a shorter message than usual. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I pray that your word will have ministered to the hearts of the people here tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.